A beacon shining in the night, faster than a bolt of light, cloaked but hiding in plain sight.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are ready.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Hello, 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 Arrow Squad. Welcome to Arrow Squad 132, Season 6, Episode 12, titled All for Nothing. I'm The Flash.
And I'm Cammy. And you know how I'm usually like, I'm so excited to discuss this week's episode. This week, I'm excited to hear your thoughts about the episode, because there was so much of your girl Dinah in this, and I want to hear what you thought of her.
It was very centered on her and a lot of her storyline.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. Well, I've got thoughts, I think, kind of teetering on both ends of it, so let's get into it. We don't really have any news. We have not been digging up many news items the last couple episodes, so.
Right.
Might as well.
Well, let's just get into the ratings then.
Sounds like a plan. All right. I'm giving this one 7 out of 10 falls from righteous choices.
Ooh.
And maybe as we talk, you guys understand what that means, where I'm coming from on that. So, all right. So this episode, it didn't really fire on all cylinders like our last few have, but it really actually was still good in its own right. Just not a lot really wrong with it. I actually found I was getting more upset with OTA this time around.
Oh, interesting.
I actually found them kind of annoying and a bit self-righteous in their, quote, we are the experienced leader, so we know better, unquote, mindset. And we'll talk about a couple scenes as to why I'm thinking about that. And it's because of that mindset that I believe led to Vince's death. So we can talk more about that. Now, the opening of the episode, though, was once again jaw-dropping and unexpected. A lot of diver death in a matter of moments.
Yeah, that was quite shocking.
Yeah, so that was like, whoa, okay, we're off and running here. This episode's going to be a big bang of some kind.
Yeah.
I did like having some flashback scenes this week. They were used in a way to pull together the story of Dinah and Vince, to catch us up on why she's been behaving the way she has towards him, and hopefully make us understand her actions. But for me, it was a little bit fast storytelling. I would have preferred this be done over a small arc as parts of episodes, as I think it would have given it more emotional weight to it. But
yeah,
it did what it was supposed to do. It provided a means to an end of a story arc so that Arrow can move forward with other story chapters in this season's grand arc. And like I said last week, they're trimming down unnecessary elements, and I think this puts Dinah on her own dark path, which, as Arrow viewers, have known since season one that every character, every one of our heroes has had to work through a dark path of their own before they can become their true versions of themselves. So I actually don't mind them going this way with her, because that means she's going to be around for the long haul. They're putting her on this path, which who knows how long it's going to last, but we've seen it with Laurel, we've seen it with Oliver, seen it with Felicity, we've seen it with Diggle. That this to me kind of sets in the Arrow stone that Dinah's going to be here for a while, because she's now going to go down this dark path. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to struggle with seeing her do, whether we like it or don't like it. And we're going to have to watch Oliver and Diggle and Felicity somehow come around and provide support for her. I don't know if it's going to be just Curtis and Wild Dog that are going to do that, but she's going to be going through this transition before she can become truly the Black Canary that we've already been loving, but before she gets to that heroic level that, you know, the rest of our main characters are at. And I actually can't wait to see Dinah out of control for a bit, because we just saw her demonstrate how powerful she can be. Now imagine her going on a revenge rampage, and watch out. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, the sort of emotion and power that she packed into the end there. I mean, even if we don't necessarily like what choices she's going to make, and I personally don't have anything against her choices at this point, but even if you don't like the choices, like Oliver doesn't like her choices, you still kind of have to get excited at the power that hopefully she's going to show through it.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's kind of an idea to give you a hint of where I feel about what happened this episode. Like I said, it didn't, I don't think that the direction of it, I don't think it was pulled off with that amazing clarity that we had last week. Definitely not. I think last week can be hard to beat, but it still flowed and did what it was supposed to do. And like I said, it was, they were trying to end as a story arc, which I think they realized is one of the ones that isn't going anywhere. And we better, let's just write this one off. And you could feel it. This episode was fast paced. The story was fast. Like we ripped through Vince's story really quickly. Mm-hmm. And, it came to an end. So yeah. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of ratings, you and I are definitely on the same page, and also as well as a lot of your thoughts, I agree with as well. I gave it a 7 out of 10 as well. Okay. You know, there were moments and themes from this episode that I enjoyed, but overall it was underwhelming considering that we had a full redemption arc and character death all in one episode. And yet none of that really seemed that impactful, because while Vigilante met a fitting end and that he now serves as motivation for Dinah to get back into fighting the bad guys, she was the one member of New Team Arrow who already had the drive to go after villains regardless. Mm-hmm. So it kind of felt like it was a bit, like you said, it was a bit of an end to a fumbly storyline. And it also felt like a rehash of a storyline she already was given. She already started her journey wanting to avenge his death. So now they're just sort of doing that same thing again. It's her avenging a past lover's death. And I don't dislike it necessarily. I like I said, I quite enjoyed the end there. I would love to see her go after Black Siren. I think that'll be, you know, fun to watch. But I guess I'm more invested in the mystery of who's controlling Kaden, just because that feels new, right, or feeding him incorrect info, than I am in the current, you know, hero-villain pair-offs. You know, we've had Diggle and Dragon, we've had Dinah and Black Siren, we've had Oliver and Anatoly. You know, there's all of these pair-offs, and I kind of already know what all of those look like at this point, so I'm more excited at, like, wait, who's controlling Kaden? And there just wasn't that much of that this episode, although maybe some hints, so we'll get into it.
We'll get into that. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think we still have some things to talk about. This episode did present a lot, so
yeah,
let's see what our friend Aaron had to say about last week.
I really enjoyed reading Erin's feedback this week, because she had a lot of sort of theories of what they were going to do with Dinah and Vince. That was a big chunk of her feedback, and you know, all of those questions are kind of now answered. But she had a lot of the same concerns as us, in that, you know, she was worried about how Dinah would be portrayed in relation to Vince, and she didn't want it to be like a tropey, sad girlfriend thing at the end, or for her to have been duped by this guy or anything like that. And she has a line here where she said, "I'd rather Vince died a good guy and Dinah not believe him than see her get played." And in that sense, we now know Vince did die a good guy, and Dinah did believe him eventually in the end. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have to see her get played. So that was kind of nice.
Right.
And she agrees with you that it would be really disappointing if they just talked all the bad guys out of being bad guys, and has some points about why that wouldn't work with some of the bad guys. And she says, lol to the name the Timeout Trio. I've continued using that name for a while. I think it fits. And she agrees with the question I threw out last week of, when is Dinah going to get some respect? Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that this week, because I think she did start to get a little bit of respect this week. And she had some thoughts on what they could do with children on the show, which we didn't really deal with this week because all of the kids were sort of in Reza's witness protection, if you will.
Yeah, pretty much.
And she had some thoughts on what they might do with Thea going forward as well, which I'm sure we'll see here in just a few more episodes. So thank you, Aaron.
Well, I want to point out one thing she said right at the top. It's just kind of funny. She's because she's agreeing with me, and this is going to be our little moment together, Aaron. She says, "Dinah is definitely swoon-worthy. Yes, it's easy to see her physical beauty, but her overall swoonness is enhanced with her intelligence, bravery, the ability to stand up for herself, her kindness." And yeah, I mean, I totally agree with her. It's not just her look that I, you know, swoon over, as you put it. It's a complete package. She's just amazing. But then she asks, she says, when's the Dinocentric podcast episode, Flash? Let's get on this. Well, Aaron, this one might have a little bit. I don't know if this will fully count as a fully Dinocentric one, but we are going to talk about her quite a bit. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to come up with a theme. Maybe I'll do a special bonus podcast of Dinotalk. We'll have to see. But I just wanted to bring that up because she was feeling what I'm feeling.
Yes. In terms of the Flash side of this, every episode is a Dinocentric podcast episode, right?
Yes. But anyway, thank you, Aaron, for your wonderful email, as always. Let's move into our favorite moments, because I think this week was maybe not as easy to pick out. Like, there was not as big a standout this week.
I had a harder time this week, for sure.
Okay, let's get into it. Yeah, so, I mean, there wasn't as many oh my god moments that blew me away this week. Because I think as a whole, the episode sort of stayed on the same level start to finish. But there was one moment that I really liked for Dinah, and yes, it's going to be a Dinah moment. A point where her argument was like a slap in the face with truth and a hell yeah, she's right to Oliver. In fact, this was the one scene that really got me kind of being upset with Diggle and Oliver for their attitude and self-importance over the others. Until Dinah makes her point and Oliver realizes she's right and he agrees with her. It's a tough situation, and I can't really pick sides as to whose plan was the correct one. You can argue the needs of the many versus the needs of one angle, but I don't think it actually fits here. Since they were trying to tell OTA that the bomb will be moved already by the time they get there, so they need to go get Vince first, then they were proven right, and OTA and all their experience were actually wrong here. I know this is like hindsight thinking, but they actually were wrong. And this was the moment that I think some fans didn't really want to see. And I know you've brought it up, Cammy, that we saw OTA be proven wrong by the new Team Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't really wanting to see that. But I don't think this was done in a way that I think it was done pretty good where it shouldn't upset us really. It was a moment that was needed, I felt, to get OTA off their kind of high horse they've been on a little bit and learning a lesson by the end of the episode that Oliver needed to learn as a leader. He's still growing as a leader, so I think he needed to kind of get a bit of a kick in the butt off his high horse and learn a little bit of something there. I mean, he made a bad choice. Someone got killed. They didn't save anything or anyone. It was a complete failure this episode, and now Dinah is on a Revenge of the Heart rampage. That's going to be a really bad situation. So, the scene that I picked is actually from that moment, and there's a line in here that she uses, and we'll talk about it after, but there's a line in here that she uses where I was just like, yes, like, take that, Oliver. So here it is.
Oh my gosh, we need to help him.
Hey, look, like Vince said, James is constantly moving the bomb. This might be our only chance.
He's being tortured.
And he can handle it. With his healing abilities, they can't do anything to hurt him permanently. As far as we know, this could be a trap. Once the bomb is rendered safe, we go back in, we get Vince.
He has already been made. By the time we get there, that bomb is going to be long gone.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. Look, we all got him into this. We should all be getting him out. I'll do it myself.
Dinah? Vince would not want you to do it this way.
Don't you dare! You know damn well if it was Felicity out there, if it was Lila, this wouldn't even be up for debate. Vince is my family. And I'm not letting him die. Not again.
Okay, so, and there's actually two parts. There's the one smaller moment where she says, we all got him into this, so it's up to all of us to get him out. I agreed with that saying, but it's the one where she said, you know damn well if this was Felicity or Diggle's wife, you'd be in there right away. And I'm like, exactly right. If it was anyone else on the line, Oliver would not be questioning it at all. He'd be running in there by himself, guns, arrows blazing without even checking anything. He'd be running in there. So I totally support Dinah in that aspect of her argument that, yeah.
I mean, historically, it's not totally true. I support her. I agree with her, but she's actually wrong there. Because we have seen both Oliver and Diggle put Lila on the line and not necessarily go save her. When Oliver was going to be Al-Saheem, so that would have been in season 3, there was a specific point where he actually risks Lila's life and then has a talk with Diggle about the fact that, like, Lila is also a soldier as well, basically, like, she signed up for this. Mm-hmm. So I think it could go either way with that. I supported Dinah going after Vince, but I'm not so sure that she was fully right in that the whole team would risk the whole city to save one person's significant other. So it could kind of go either way with that.
I think it was,
but I do agree with her on her decision to go save him.
Yeah, but I think it was. I mean, you might be right in some of your like your points behind the message there, but it's still the kind of attitude that Diggle and Oliver had. It just seemed kind of heartless and kind of like
they did, they
you know,
did.
And that's what was bugging me. Like, there was no sense of concern at all.
Right.
And I guess maybe based on the story, based on what they've had to endure because of Vince and Vigilante, like maybe that's why it's hard for them to feel or show any concern. But still, this Dinah also said, "This is my family." And,
right.
And I think it's at that point where they should have realized, well, we consider you part of our family. Therefore, we're going to protect you and yours the same way we would protect ours. So there's just a few little things about it that I'm with Dinah on this one.
I think the key is they don't see her as part of their family, which is kind of, I mean, that's maybe hurtful after all they've gone through, but clearly mm-hmm. they don't. And which is, I mean, she left the team,
yeah,
but
I mean,
when
yeah,
they were
there's
a team, she was a team member.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, she should be, you know, part of the family, but I don't think she really does see them as family or vice versa yet, but they might get there.
Well, yeah. And that's because of all the tension as of late,
yeah.
Because of what's going on is the tension. But again, the point you bring up though, is that when she was in the team, she was the mm-hmm. one that was the most loyal and most all for this team because she felt Oliver reached out to her and rescued her from a bad situation to bring her into the team. So
right.
She, and that's, I mean, and that's why, you know, I totally understand why she is so upset with them for blaming her for this mm-hmm. whole situation with Wild Dog. Like that, like I totally get why she's upset because she's the one that proved herself more than anyone that she's here for the team. So yeah, this whole mm-hmm. situation is just crazy. But you know, anyway, dialing it back to that point, I still just felt there was something a little bit off with how they were treating her, and I agreed with the argument she was bringing out. And I mean, Oliver did come to the realization. He did once she said, "If this was Felicity on the line," and he's like, "Yeah, actually, you're probably right." Like, especially now that you know they're married and William's in his life and everything, I think he realized, "Yeah, I'd probably be," you know, it's no different than when he was going after William and stuff. It's so. Yeah.
Especially
anyway.
Since they seem to see Felicity as a civilian. And I think a lot of this comes from, especially with Diggle, I see a lot of, they write this sort of military mindset for him that really differentiates somebody who has signed up to be sort of a soldier in this battle, if you will, and somebody who's a civilian. And for some reason, despite Felicity being on the team for so long, they often do treat her as a civilian.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up with Diggle having the military background, and he always sees every situation like that. And I guess that kind of explains why he's like, Vince can handle it with his healing ability.
Right.
He can handle it. We'll get in there. But it still just came out of him as kind of a heartless sounding.
It's a
remark.
Cold thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All right. Well, let's go on to your favorite scene here.
Yeah, it wasn't easy for me to pick a favorite moment either. I had more of a favorite presence. Mm-hmm. I'm loving the energy and mystery brought to this episode by Elena, if I'm saying her name right.
I think it's Elena, actually. I thought Elena, yeah.
Elena. It makes perfect sense that OTA would be reaching out to past allies for help, of course, because they're understaffed. But because of her past ties with Kaden, this sets up, you know, for us to speculate, is she the bigger bat behind Kaden's misinformation?
Oh, man, is that...
Is, yeah.
That's a or theory is, we haven't brought up yet.
Because she's worked so closely with Kaden, she's either, you know, this is either a brilliant decision bringing her in, that she's the only assistance which could take him down, or this could be, you know, a really bad ally. In the episode, you know, we were filled with questions of, you know, which of the villains is actually a villain and which of the heroes is actually a hero. And this, all this question of motivation. But this was one, the one character that I actually found to be the most intriguing and potentially the make it or break it factor for either side. So I was really excited to see her around, whether she's a hero or a villain.
Well, and that's the question. Because, yeah, can you trust her really? And before you even dive into your scene, like what – I think me and a lot of the viewers, she was not anywhere near. We haven't seen her for a while. And then boom, halfway through the episode, she's in the Arrow Cave. And I mean, what, where did she come from? What's she doing in there? Why do they trust her? Like that to me was the only thing that takes away from her being there. It just came, it was a bolt out of the blue. What is she doing there? She's not friends with everybody. She's friends with Felicity.
Right.
What, the whole team just suddenly trusts her and brings her into their base layer? That to me is what is one of the things that actually knocked it down a point. Because I agree with you on the coolness of.
Well, she's been in their layer before, I think.
I don't remember. Even whether she has or I don't remember if she has, but it's still.
Yeah.
Like,
the fact that they trust her at all, though.
Exactly. Like, I understand the mystery. I totally agree with you on that. Is she or isn't she a good guy? But what? But just the fact that she just dropped out of nowhere and there she is, I was like, wait a second, that's a little bit strange. But anyway.
Yeah. She kind of represents this sort of desperate times call for desperate measures. You know, normally Felicity would ask Curtis for help, but Curtis was withholding information that nearly had them kill an innocent person. So they kind of are forced to go with somebody else. They can't trust Curtis anymore.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I do have a bit of a clip from here. There's one you pulled.
Yeah.
So we'll listen to it, and then you can kind of describe a little more. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Vince didn't make it back to Helix.
Did he reach out to any of you?
No.
Boom! Goes the dynamite. Oh!
Maybe not the best choice of words, considering the circumstances.
Oh, if by circumstances you mean locating Kaden's bomb, then yes, we just did.
Where?
Warehouse District, Tenth and Valley.
There you go.
Yeah, they were just so fun. It's so fun to see them work together. Hacking can easily be something that can go so boring. You know, we don't even see Kaden doing much tech work, really. He mostly just talking. So it's just fun to see two people sort of doing something that would otherwise just be boring to watch. And they somehow make it fun. And there's always this underlying danger that, you know, she may not actually be their friend. So that's kind of fun, too.
Yeah. And I think a good point that you brought up is what if she's actually working for Kaden and she's like a deep inside mole on his side? Because his team is kind of falling apart. I mean, he lost, you know, Mr. Boots or whatever that guy's name was from last week. And then now he loses Vince. So his team's shrunk quite a bit.
Yeah.
Although
we can dive into talking about that villain team now.
Yeah, we shall. Let's move on to discussion points.
All right. So, talking about our mission of the week, we opened with a bunch of SCPD divers getting electrocuted, like you mentioned, but it gets worse from there. The overall issue is that the whole city is under a bomb threat. What did you think of the danger Kaden posed this week? Did they up the stakes for you?
Well, the feeling it gave me is that his master plan is kind of getting closer to the moment he might actually blow up the city. Because, I mean, he was still in the city. I didn't think he was going to blow it up, you know, on this episode. But the threat was feeling real. It feels like it's a moving target that our team can't catch up to. And that's what I kind of liked. Like, I liked that he was on the move, and it felt like the team knew what they were doing, but they actually really didn't. He actually fooled them the entire way.
Yeah.
And had them fall. Not so much a wild goose chase. They were just late.
You know,
they're two steps behind them, and I still kind of like that. It still gives it a pretty heavy dose of threatening feeling, and you know it may not scramble. Yeah, and it may not have progressed the overall mission of what he's up to a lot this episode, but it still just had that pace to it that he's not quite within reach of him yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the bomb targeting the city, which is an overall threat, we had an individual threat, which is that Caden has found out that Vigilante may be a mole. And he's torturing him. Not so great. Vince's storyline has had ups and downs, but what did you think of the ending he faced?
Wow, man, you know what? I hate torture scenes because I'm one of those TV and movie viewers that when I watch things, I tend to feel what's going on screen. And it's like the big explosive violent ones, like someone getting their arm chopped off or a big explosion, like that, it's the small things. So like getting a cut across the face, getting a finger broken, getting a tooth pulled out, I'm like, oh God, that hurts, you know, and I almost feel it. So I did not like this stuff. I mean, they didn't show too much with Vince, but just hearing him scream, I was imagining it, and yeah, it wasn't, not fun. But as I was saying,
so with you, torture is so hard to watch.
As I was saying last week, and what I said a little bit earlier, I think they seem to be tying off ends that aren't really going anywhere. And what I felt was that they realized the Vince storyline can't really be dragged out any longer. So let's end that one too, because during this episode, his storyline, it really sped up a lot, and it came to its conclusion that you and me have been theorizing about for the last few weeks already, being the end. Is he going to be redeemed, and is he going to die hero? We had talked about this. We had guessed that it's either going to go that way, or he's going to turn out to be a bad guy, and Dinah has to put him down. Well, it ended up being this point, him being a hero, he's been undercover the whole time, and he's going to die. So at that entire thing, we've been talking about it for weeks, and they concluded it all in one episode. So
it was so much story for him all in one episode. In addition to that, we had flashbacks for him and Dinah, back to them first meeting, back to the mission where he first gets his powers. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of story for them to put in one episode.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Then they wrap up his component so that we can see where that puts Dinah and what she does present day from there, which for me, between Vince and Dinah, of course, I'm much more interested in Dinah's storyline. So I'm totally okay with that. Of course, it was hard to watch him die, but I'm really excited to see what Dinah does from here. And she's kind of got her target set on Black Siren.
Yep.
We see a little bit of Black Siren this episode as well, going through some... It's not torture. It's like the opposite of torture. It's like she's forced to see herself be a good guy because Lance and Thea still sort of believe in her, and they have a little bit of a side mission through that. What do you think about this? Is she going to be redeemed? Are they crazy? What are your thoughts?
Well, her following Lance, I wasn't sure what was going on there, why she was doing that, because they never really answered that. She didn't give us an answer on that. And then when Vince kind of sets up that memory trap, I guess you could say, or whatever, she didn't react to that very well. Like you see her look at the image in the pictures, and you see that, I think what I saw in her face was that was a daughter and father relationship that she never had. And I think that's that's the emotion she was seeing, is like, oh, you know, that's what I wish I had, and I didn't have that. You had that with your daughter. Mm-hmm. And he's presenting it to her like, I can give this to you. This is what you and me can build and develop. And I think for a moment, that's what she was thinking about. But then I don't know what changed, what turned, but she didn't want any part of it. And she left.
Yeah.
And then we see her with Caden, and Caden asks her, or orders her, I guess, to, you know, let's see how much Vince can take since he can heal. Let's see how much. And she actually struggled with that decision. And I don't know if it was of killing him outright that she struggled with, because we've seen her be nasty and kill before. So I don't know what it was, why she struggled in that moment, but she went ahead and did it. And the brutality of what she did, to use her canary cry right into his ear and basically melt his brain that's probably one of the most brutal, violent things we've seen, even though it wasn't like a gross and visually grotesque. Mm-hmm. It was an extremely violent scene. to melt someone from the inside out with a sonic scream like that. And it, like, it was brutal. And that whole scene, it was actually really, really intense. Mm-hmm. It was shocking. And yes, you could hear,
visually.
Yeah. And you could hear Dinah in the background, like she's murmuring and screaming and struggling. And I just imagine what that feels like to her to be watching that for a second time.
Yeah. To have him taken from her again. Again. Just when she had him back. Yeah.
But this time in a much slower, more drawn out, extremely painful death scene. And just, yeah, it was crazy. And I do want to, before we totally get off of, I mean, I'm sure we'll come back to her, but I have to say here that I think her performance this episode was really the standout. She really dove into the emotions that she had to deal with in this episode.
She had quite a range of emotions that she had to show through this material.
Yeah. Way to go, Juliana. But, we'll get to her again a little more, but yeah, with Black Siren, I think with her killing Vince like that, I think for me, that kind of assures that she is unredeemable.
Yeah. To me, Black Siren's unredeemable. And I think that that's something they tried to hammer home this episode. Mm-hmm. But for those of us, I know you and I, we watch the other Arrowverse shows.
Right.
And we know the dynamics of a character who comes from another Earth, and we know that they're not the same at all. This Black Siren is not Laurel. Just because it's played by the same actress doesn't mean that she's, you know, the same person that Laurel once was. For me, and I was never, like, you know, a diehard Laurel fan or anything like that. You know, I think Dinah is our best canary. You know, I have my preferences, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I know that there are, you know, fans of Laurel out there, and I would imagine they might be a bit put off to see a legacy hero be, for them to think that is Black Siren. That's not Black Siren. You know, the image of Laurel shouldn't be projected over Black Siren, or, you know, try to put Black Siren in, you know, a path to become her. They're not the same person. And it would kind of, I would imagine if you were a fan of Laurel, that might kind of feel like tarnishing her legacy a bit to try to insinuate that they're at all the same, even though, of course, if we watch other shows, we know for sure that they're not the same. But to have that even brought up as a question mm-hmm. seems a little bit, I don't know. It's not really my lane, because that wasn't ever, you know, my favorite character or anything. But
well, here's the odd. The thing with, I was a fan of Laurel. I never liked her as Black Canary. I didn't think she made a good Black Canary.
Yeah.
But I liked the Laurel character. I liked the history, because she's been with us since day one of Arrow. And mm-hmm. the relationship that she had with Oliver, they were together, and then he was with Sarah. But him and Laurel just have this friendship that I think it's a friendship bond that is undying, and that's the Laurel that I really liked. So I don't see this in Black Siren at all. And I don't see there being a redemption arc. And plus we're enjoying her being villainous so much that I don't want her to be redeemed. So.
Right. I want to get into what we were talking about before, which is the individual mission for this week and the overall mission for this week, because mm-hmm. that kind of lines up with OTA and NTA, or timeout trio, or whatever you want to call them. So OTA, like you said, they were kind of on their high horse, as you put it, and that they were caring about the overall city. They wanted to stop the bomb. And New Team Arrow had the emotional connection with one individual, and they wanted to save that one individual. So that's how the two missions sort of broke down.
Right.
And we can start with OTA. Okay. Their mission was to stop this bomb. And we see Oliver struggle quite a bit this week with the fact that New Team Arrow might not share the same mission as him. He's left undermanned. He's in a position of actively opposing New Team Arrow's missions and choices, but they are not his team. You kind of already started to talk about this a little bit, but how well do you think he's handled it? Do you feel like he showed any growth? Do you feel like not so much? What did you think of Oliver?
Yeah, kind of back and forth. I think he where I saw him struggling is that he wants to provide them leadership and experience, but he didn't go about it the right way. He kind of pushed his leadership and experience on them by kind of arguing about what they should do. And because they disagreed with him, I think he had trouble with that, because he was once their leader. He was, you know, he did have them as a complete team at one point. So I think he's at that middle ground right now where he still feels like he should be able to give them the orders that they should follow to make the whole plan happen properly. But he hasn't fully let go of that decisiveness yet as a leader. And they're obviously fully have. They're like, yeah, you know, to heck with you. We're not listening to you. We got our own plan. So I think that's where I saw him struggling. But what I like is that he's still staying pretty resolute. He's realizing within moments after these disagreements and situations are happening, within moments after, he's realizing it and realizing his own faults, and he's backing off and nodding and agreeing and letting them do their own thing. Whereas Oliver of the past would fight them on it. He'd try to stop them. He'd get angry. And I like that we're not seeing that. So there is growth. There is change in how he's reacting and responding to himself even. So, yeah.
It was a bit of a perfect standoff on paper, because the question of the needs of many versus the needs of few, that's a very, you know, classic impasse, right? There's not one right answer. Mm-hmm. We can't necessarily always say the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or the ends justify the mean. You know, it's not like we can say one side is right or wrong. For me, I kind of side more with OTA, but if you see the more individual or emotional side of it, you're going to side more with New Team Arrow, right? Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle and you can kind of see both sides, right? But it's not a right or wrong. They were at an impasse in that neither one could succeed without the other. Mm-hmm. If the new, you know, whether we like the new newbies or not, OTA needed them to stop the bomb. And without them, they didn't have enough people to stop the bomb. So Vince died for nothing. Whereas New Team Arrow could not rescue Vince without OTA. And, you know, the bomb was moved and Vince died for nothing. So that's kind of the whole premise of the episode, is they have to work together or they will get nothing done. Mm-hmm. I don't like that premise for the same reason you brought up earlier and we've talked about before. I don't really like them framing OTA as needing outside help to succeed, but it was interesting to explore the concept for this episode through this kind of classic, well-structured impasse, and the end result was nothing got done. So it was just really interesting, though hard to watch.
Well, with everything you're talking about, I mean, you're not wrong on any of those points, but I think if we look back at the history of Arrow, see, we have this strong feeling that OTA doesn't need anyone, they can do it, but we're at a point now where the villains and the missions and everything that comes into play, one guy in a green leather suit can't handle it anymore. Like in the very beginning of Arrow, it was just Oliver out in the street and Diggle was backing him up once in a while and Felicity was getting him information. But Oliver was by himself and he was handling small jobs and small missions. But now the city has grown, the show has grown, the threats have grown, that he can't do it by himself. So that kind of plays into the fact that he does need a team now. He needs more people to be able to accomplish stopping these larger plans that are being put into play by the villains he's facing. So it might be a hard pill to swallow to say that Oliver needs people, but I'm trying to step away from that and look at it as a grander scheme that, yeah, right, with the threats that the city is under, it takes a team to be able to stop it now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no different than, you look at like the Justice League. Well, sure, Superman can maybe do everything, but they still build a team. They still got the Justice League, Wonder Woman, everybody. So that, you know, they put a super team together because they have to face world threats that one person can't handle everything. So it's kind of that angle that I'm looking at it from. And this episode, again, like you were saying, if you step away from it, you look at it, that was the underlying base they were trying to build, that both teams on their own, two members of three, weren't able to succeed. This was failure all around. This whole episode was nothing but failure. you know, for the good guys. And it's building that base that they're both going to have to slowly start to realize, okay, we may have to work together to accomplish the same goal, or we're going to lose more people. We're going to lose the city. And so I think that's kind of what they're building towards. You might not like that kind of story angle, but it really, in this grand scheme of Arrow and where we're at in this show in season six, it makes sense. And it's kind of necessary.
Yeah. Well, A, I agree. B, one of the things that you mentioned was that, you know, OTA does have to bring in people to support them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And historically, they also have, you know, this isn't the first time they've worked with people or worked with people consistently. But for this episode, they brought in Alina. Now, I know we talked a little bit about her before, but I think she could be potentially bigger than what it appears on the surface. And I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. She's worked with Caden before. Is she going to be the asset that's going to bring him down, or is she a double agent, like a bigger bad? Is Alina the big bad this season? Like, what do you think?
I think there's a lot of hacker fans out there that would love her to be the one that takes him down. But how, what's the, not thought-provoking, but it just jaw-dropping would that be that she's almost like his understudy. And he didn't realize how much she was learning, and she's the one, you know, the one who takes him down and all that kind of stuff. But I think if she ends up being on his side and takes Team Arrow down from the inside river, I don't know if I would like that as much. I think I would prefer her to be the one that does stop, although.
It seems like somebody is against Team Arrow, but also not on Caden's side, because somebody's giving Caden false information to turn them against Team Arrow.
Yeah.
I want Alina to be good, first of all. So let me start with that. I want her to be good. I want her to help occasionally with Team Arrow. I want Felicity to have a friend. I do. But do we really think she is? Like,
yeah, seeing that the feeling, as I was about to say, how cool would it be that she is being his understudy, she's the one that stops him. But then I thought, you know what? She's not a character that we are fully invested in. And if they make it that she's the one that stops Caden, it makes the rest of our team kind of useless. Like, well, what were they there for? They couldn't do it. So this girl that we only kind of know does it. It kind of takes away from our heroes getting to be the heroes of the show.
Yeah.
So it would
undermine Felicity's power quite a lot.
It does, right. Yeah. So maybe it would be better for shock value of the story that she is still working for Caden.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because he still seems to be steps ahead of them. So I don't know.
Yeah. There's not really much speculation I can do at this point, but I would just say that I'm really fascinated in what they do with her either way. So that was kind of why she was a highlight for me.
Right.
Another highlight I almost chose. Like as my favorite moment that is sort of the last point I have here about OTA was I really enjoyed Oliver's face off with Vince, because there were some really good lines on both sides.
Oh, when he took him down the back hallway there, I need to talk to you for a sec. Kind of thing.
Yeah. So Oliver had a really good point where he was saying, you've taken a shot at nearly everybody in that room. That was a really fair point.
Yeah, very
and
true.
And Vince does not come back to defend himself. He just says, you know, saving the city requires, you know, using any means necessary, and that means using me. He doesn't even try to negotiate with Oliver. Mm-hmm. And it was such a good final moment between them, because of course Vince dies, but we get to know that he chose to put himself in that position. He was fully willing to die. He was trying to save the city by any means necessary. He wanted to stop Caden and was willing to put himself in that position. That was his mission. He is, you know, a soldier in that position, if you will. So
that was his redemption point.
Yeah.
That was the point where he got redeemed, was saying that. That was the moment for him.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It made me like him. It made me enjoy the character and realize, okay, you know what? You've got this history with Dinah. We were questioning a lot of it because of what you were doing, but I think the writers were trying to address that by Oliver saying, you've taken a shot at nearly everybody. I think the writers are acknowledging that, yeah, we're changing this character up. We may be screwed up, but you know, so here's our main guy. Acknowledging it, throwing it in your face or in Vince's face, and Vince doesn't deny it. I think the fact that he didn't deny it and didn't argue it, it was kind of redemption for the writers that they change things. And I think I'm okay with it because I felt okay about Vince at that point with, like you said, him putting himself on the line. That gave him the heroic turn that I think we needed. Mm-hmm. Even though we're definitely not all loving him like we love our main guys. It's just, it was enough to settle my mind that he is a good guy. He's been deep undercover and Dinah was not wrong and all that kind of stuff. That's all I needed. Right. And it was fine. And he died a hero. It wasn't one of our favorite heroes, but he still got to die a hero. And it was a really sad, painful, unfortunate death. And I really feel for Dinah for having to watch that again. In actuality, now that we're talking about it, it did have a good emotional impact. And I don't think I felt it right after watching the episode, but now talking about it, I'm feeling it actually a lot more.
get you right there in the feels.
Yeah. So,
well, now that we've started to get into that part, let's talk about the people who were actually trying to save him. So right. New Team Arrow was actually trying to save him. And really that was spearheaded by Dinah, but Renee and Curtis chose to go with her. Mm-hmm. But backing up a bit, the New Team Arrow encounters that we start with between them and OTA involved OTA finding out that Curtis, New Team Arrow as a whole, but Curtis specifically, has withheld information from them despite the share treaty from last week. And then we also get to see OTA visit New Team Arrow's lair this week. Uh-huh. What did you think of those interactions overall?
You know what? It was actually kind of fun. It was interesting to see the way Oliver and Felicity kind of react to find out that Curtis did withhold information. It was kind of like, that's how it feels. Mm-hmm. In a sense, that was kind of fun. But seeing the new team in their lair, I thought there's a few things in this episode that seem like we're advancing along a little bit. It seems like they've moved past their bickering a little bit. They're sharing information. They're somewhat working together as a team, even though they disagree on which way they need to go. Just having them in their new lair kind of, I guess, is building a bit of a bridge between them a little bit. Renee was just having a lot of annoying comments. He's acting like a teenager right now with his constant remarks. It's just like,
he's the oldest of them, right? He's even older than Dinah.
I think so. But like, quit talking out of the side of your mouth as you're walking away from us kind of feeling, right? So yeah, that's kind of where I felt.
Yeah. I'll do one little upset at Renee, salty Cammy comment, and then I just won't discuss him this episode.
All right.
I really didn't like that he mentioned flippantly having PTSD about going back to the Arrow Cave.
Yeah, that was one
of
the moments.
That's such an inappropriate comment to make. He has people on his team who would actually suffer from real PTSD. That's not something you just mentioned flippantly.
Yeah.
Dinah, Diggle, Oliver, or the three of them specifically, would probably suffer from that. That's not just, that just seems so inappropriate to just flippantly reference that just to be annoying about a team of people who have consistently saved you and your family. It just felt really inappropriate.
Well, and you want to take that angle out of it, even just the fact that these people brought you in, this was your home, this was your base, this was your team.
They've saved his daughter's life multiple times.
Just to be that rude and that negative about it and like, God, I hate being here and all that. Like he's really going down the path of not going to be redeemed. I think he's going to, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to turn him around because he's really putting a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths right now with how he's behaving. Yeah. So
when I see that trio, it just feels like such an odd mishmash because you have Renee, who I can't stand and I don't think is a hero. And then you have Curtis, who I want to like, but he's been so hypocritical. And then you have Dinah, and that's the only person from that trio that I'm at all rooting for. Right. But, and this gets back into what we were talking about, an important point in the episode was that when Dinah does go to save Vince, Renee and Curtis choose to go with her rather than staying to help with the bomb threat. Which maybe is a redeeming thing for them, or perhaps not, mm-hmm. depending on how you see it. Were you surprised, pleased, disappointed with this choice? What did you think?
No, see, and that's what I liked about them. They, regardless of their reasons for leaving, regardless of their feelings towards OTA, the three mm-hmm. of them are in full support of each other, and we've seen them squabble, but figure it out. I like that. They're like, heck no, we are not letting you go off on your own, Dinah. We got your back. We're coming. And I like that. I like that amongst the three of them. If they were the only three on this team and that's all we watched, then I think that's great. I just love that the support that they're providing her. Mm-hmm. you know, cause she's in the middle of a hell of a lot of crazy stuff right now. So she needs something. Yeah. And I at least appreciated that the three of them have some loyalty amongst themselves anyway. Regardless of all the people that are throwing their arms up, but Renee's the one who betrayed blah, blah, blah. Why would you trust him? Well, he hasn't betrayed Curtis and Dinah. He's been giving them some good loyalty. So, you know,
I think he betrayed the whole team. So it kind of includes them, but he has been supporting them now. So in that sense, he's loyal to them.
Yeah.
It can kind of go either way. There's always the question of if they had chosen to go help OTA instead, would they have been able to actually stop the bomb? Maybe. Like, the premise we're given is that if all of New Team Arrow had supported Old Team Arrow, they would have been able to stop the bomb. And if all of Old Team Arrow had supported New Team Arrow, they would have been able to save Vince. But we don't know if they had, like, split the trios, would it have helped? I don't know. Well, we kind of were... Go ahead.
I was just saying, but you look at the way the scene played out, Dinah kind of ended up being on her own anyway, because Curtis and Renee, I don't know where they were, but they were definitely behind her by a bit of time, because she got caught in the falling debris and everything, and then they finally showed up long after everything happened. So what happened? Where did that get split like that?
I really don't know, and it really felt like a moment that was just mostly about her anyways. Hmm. So I kind of would have, I mean, it's nice to see them try to support her, but from a tactical standpoint, it would have made sense for them to try to help OTA if they would have been of any help at all. I don't really know.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
But getting back to Dinah, though, and I know we kind of talked about this a little bit already, but this is sort of the last point I had here, is the final moment's really centered around her threat to go after all the villains who killed Vince. Not in Oliver's way. She wants to go after them in her way, starting with Black Siren, not going with Oliver's plan at all. He kind of opposes this, clearly. So we kind of have two different sides. Whose side are you on?
What a heavy question it is. I first want to, again, tip my hat, nod, bow, whatever Juliana prefers to her performance in that last scene, because that had some weight to it, and my God, was there tension, was there anger, and just something was boiling under the surface under there. I'm surprised she didn't scream, canary cry at Oliver, and just, you know, send him flying through the window there. But yeah, that like, I would have been in fear seeing what was bubbling under the surface. I would have been in fear. And God, whose side though? Like, you know, I like thinking about wanting to take care of Dinah. I would be on Oliver's side, because she's obviously reacting with emotions. She's not going to be thinking clearly, not going to be thinking through any plan thoroughly, and not going to be smart about it. So she's going to be putting herself in danger. But if she explodes with the amount of power she potentially has, there might not be anything in her way that can stop her anyway. And I can't really argue with her wanting revenge because of what she's had to go through twice now in witnessing the only person she's ever loved die like that. Wanting to get revenge. It's so much emotion. So I can't blame her for wanting to go. I mean, that was a brutal, violent death. Heck yeah. Go kill the people that did that to her. Like that. I think it's a feeling that if you're a family, you're a mother of two kids and your family got murdered in front of you, would you want to you know, this brings in a whole bunch of political stuff, but eye for an eye justice? Do you want to send that guy to prison for 50 years where he can eat 3 meals a day and get a full education in prison after he killed your whole family? No, you'd want him dead too, because I understand the feeling of revenge in that sense. So I can't fully choose a side 100%. I can understand both angles. Where do you stand on that?
Well, the problem is, in real life, I'm a pacifist. But in this fictional world, I'm totally Team Dinah. Like, go get them, girl. Like, you deserve it. Kill whoever you want. Like, she's been through so much. And in the actual conflict presented this episode, which was Dinah wants to go save Vigilante, Oliver wants to stop the bomb. I'm Team Oliver. Stop the bomb, save the city. Vigilante signed up for this. The only person with any right to go save him is Dinah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't even think Renee and Curtis should have gone with her. I think that is between her and Vincent and nobody else's business, because he signed up for this and she's the only one with any right to try to stop his mission. Yeah. I think the overall Team Arrow, the only ethical thing to do is to try to save the whole city. But when it comes down to this, which is Oliver wants to stick with this big master plan and try to work together to stop Caden and have as few deaths as possible, and Dinah's like, no, I'm just going to go kill whoever I want. Like, absolutely go kill whoever you want. Like, go get it. Do whatever you want. Like, I'm Team Dinah on that. So I'm curious to hear what all of our listeners thought on that, though, because it's such an interesting conflict.
Shall we get into our feedback now?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do it. All right, who are we starting off with?
We're starting off with Miss Scarlet Vixen.
Okay.
She writes in saying, "Hello, Arrow Squad. Gotta apologize for last week's email. I got my dates mixed up and thought this week was the repeat, but it's actually February 15th. Oops. Okay, that's
How
good
dare
to know.
You throw us off track and off schedule. You messed everything up."
No, you didn't mess it up. Kidding. We figured it out like 5 minutes later. And it's good to note that there will be a repeat on the 15th. So you guys have the day after Valentine's Day off. Goes on to say, "I gave this episode a 6 out of 10. It was going to be hard to compete with last week's episode that we all loved so much. And while there were some things I liked, they were outweighed by the things I didn't." And then she goes on to give us her pros and cons. Here are her pros. Cute Oliver and Felicity scene and the bunker. I'm so glad the writers figured out how to write these characters now. If only they would have figured out a few seasons ago. Anyways, it felt natural, and a little bit of husband and wife love is needed in these episodes. That's so true. I love the little Aruba honeymoon mention, huh?
Yeah, totally. But for fans of all the DC TV shows, everyone was kind of screaming, "Aruba, no! Ask Mick! That's a bad place."
She goes on to give another pro. She said, "Seeing Elena," and then she questions the spelling. It is A-L-E-N-A. Was nice. She works so good with Felicity. On a side note, though, at this point with the newbies, just driving me crazy. Can we recruit her and get rid of Curtis?
Hmm. That's
a good question.
She's much of a hacker like Felicity, where Curtis is more on the mechanical side of things. He's the one that can build and design things. So I still think we need him in that sense.
Yeah. I don't know. She says, "Oliver and Diggle's fight scenes were pretty awesome. And Felicity, I swear my girl is amazing. She not only predicted the correct code for Vince to enter while everyone else was doubting her," in parentheses, "doubt Mrs. Smoke Queen. Come on now. But she also saved his behind by using her smarts to get him out of the situation of being caught."
Yeah.
So true.
You know what?
That actually, all good pros.
That was a really good scene that we didn't actually even get into. That whole sequence when Vince was breaking in and then Caden catches him there in the act and they're trying to figure it out. Like, that was actually edge of your seat tension. Oh my God, is he going to get out? Is he going to find out? Like, I was literally, you know, teeth chattering or biting my fingers, kind of feel. Yeah, that was a great moment. I totally forgot about that scene. So, and I agree with you, Felicity really rocked it. She was the savior in that moment.
Absolutely. So she gets into some cons, but she wants to first caveat them by saying, "I apologize in advance to Flash for being a little negative about your girl." Sad face.
Shall I plug my ears here?
you might want to. I'll just go through it quickly. She says, Dinah, so I'm having a hard time understanding the fact that last episode she was dead set against working with Vince. She didn't trust him and knew how he was when he was out in the field, but now 7 days later she's back to completely trusting him and kissing him. It just felt a little rushed to be a complete 180 turnaround.
Well, yeah.
As for Dinah and Vince, yeah.
I was just going to say that, and that's kind of what I was feeling at the top of this episode. I was saying this episode moved fast. It moved the story fast and all aspects of it, and including the one that you just brought up. Yeah, and we forgot to mention that. Yeah, this was 7 days later because Oliver had said in the office there they have now paid out $70 million. So that was a bit of a shock too.
Yeah. She goes on to say, as for Dinah and Vince, when I first saw the flashbacks, I was excited to learn about their history, but instead most of the things were things they already shared with us or that we've already seen. It jumped from their first meeting to them kissing by a fence. Where was the scene of them falling for each other? I wanted the emotion behind the relationship, but since I got nothing, it made his death fall flat. That said, Juliana did an amazing job at expressing her emotions. I just couldn't get behind them.
Yeah.
She goes on about Dinah again.
Again, it's something they kind of rushed through, so I feel you.
Yeah. She says, when Dinah was first introduced, she was the angry, hell-bent on revenge woman, but she worked past that and became the Dinah we know and love. With Vince being back, I know it brought up a lot of emotions for her, but by the end of this episode, she's back to being the Dinah we first met. I don't know if I'm feeling good about going backwards. I will have to wait and see how they play it out.
Mm-hmm.
She has some thoughts on Curtis Renee. She says, Curtis and Renee are still getting on my nerves. I understood why Dinah had to get Vince, but did those two really have to go with her? And why did she let them? She's a metahuman and could easily have gone up against those bad guys. Heck, she practically did. Because I saw Renee and Curtis when they first walked in, and then they were gone. I just feel like they could have gone with Oliver and Dig, but of course, those two think everything OTA says is the right call. Ugh. Can't wait for that scene where they finally get humbled. Till next week.
Yeah, going back to your sentence or your paragraph before that about Dinah and the fact that you feel like we're seeing her go back to when we first met her, when Oliver first went and got her. She was already on a hell-bent revenge mission, and he rescued her from that, brought her into the team, gave her some direction and a sense of family and home again. And now it feels like she's gone right back to that. Well, I think what's missing, what we never got to witness her go down that path. When we first got introduced to her, she was already at that point in that bad place in her life, and Oliver pulled her out of it. So now we're going to see her go down that dark path and slip a little, as I said, and kind of bottom out before she can be raised up again. So while I agree with you, I still think that we're gonna just get to see her go through her entire arc now to truly becoming the heroic canary that we're already in love with. So it's, you know, yeah. All right.
Good call.
Moving on, where our next email is from Stormy Woods, and Stormy says, "I'll give this episode 6 out of 10. I will no longer call Curtis and Renee heroes. You chose to save one person instead of helping save the city. I can understand Dinah. She loves Vince. But those other two, it's inexcusable. Kaden now has bombs because you left Oliver and Dig undermanned in the field. Renee's crappy attitude about even being in their lair made me want him to just get out. If you can't put saving the city over your pride and ego, you don't need to be here. Curtis saying, oh, we would have eventually told Othi about Vince. Hypocrite, thy name is Curtis Holt." Again, secrets are okay with not Team Arrow when they are the ones keeping them. Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody's feeling it. It's unfortunate that Curtis, who we've all loved for a while, is starting to make a lot of people dislike him. That's tough. She goes on, "The Vince death, despite Juliana's good acting, left me cold. I'm glad everyone agrees with her acting."
Yeah.
"You can't try to make me care about someone in the same episode you kill him." Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I said that about a lot of characters in the new Star Wars movie. Anyway, "Vince has been a double agent for years with the police, then Kaden. He knew the risks and accepted them. I feel bad for Dinah, but if this leads to her killing Black Siren, I'm all for it. Felicity managed to get some good intel thanks to Vince. He did get a hero's death, but the writing of a storyline could have been better. Yeah, I think we're all totally in the same feeling of that. It's unfortunate. But like I said, they rushed through it, I think, to just get it done and out of the way. Hopefully for bigger and better storylines for the rest of the season. Anyway, she goes on, as for Black Siren, enough is enough. Lance, she didn't kill you, okay, but that doesn't prove she's redeemable. She's killed plenty of innocents, not to mention trying to kill Oliver, Felicity, Thea, Diggle, Dinah. The warmth he says he sees has never been shown to us. She literally killed a man as he was begging, mentioning his kids. If she supposedly had any redeemable quality, why did she kill Vince like Kaden asked? Kaden was there with no backup and he's just a human. Why not kill him instead? Good point. Felicity and Sarah both dealt with evil versions in the crossover of people they love. They weren't confused or conflicted. Another good point. Paul Blackthorne deserves better than this storyline. Yeah, yeah, that is a strong point I agree with.
I strongly agree with that.
He's looking kind of wimpy and sappy, and yeah, I'd like to get him back out being a detective and doing some good stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good points in that paragraph. Her last one, Kaden is a supercomputer genius but can't tell the difference in doctored footage. I'm not sure who is framing Oliver. Yeah, another good point. Wow. Stormer, you are pulling them all out here. Holy cow. I didn't even think of that. She said, I'm not sure who is framing Oliver yet. I'm sure that Kaden is using Felicity's digital fingerprint and framing her possibly for the $70 million Oliver has paid to Kaden in city money. Sadly, I could see her arrested just as Felicity are leaving on their honeymoon.
Interesting.
I don't see Kaden surviving the whole season. I think Dragon might take him out once Kaden has done all the work. Dragon, for me, is incredibly boring and forgettable. I'm invested in Anatoly, but he's being shoved in the background too much for my liking. That I totally concur with. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anatoly has become a side character, which is unfortunate
because he does not deserve to be a side character. He could easily lead that team.
Yeah. So you bring up a lot of great points, Stormy. There's some struggle in, I think, the writing of the bad guys, because we built Anatoly up so much that it doesn't feel right to see where he's at right now. Kaden, he must have something on them all for them to be following him. I don't know if it's just his brilliant intellect or what, but there's something more to him that maybe we're not seeing in the writing that has these bad guys follow him. And you're right, Black Siren could just wipe him out in one quick call. So why does he have control over all of them? I don't know. Dragon, the fact that they made so much fanfare of introducing this character on the show, they better figure out something with him. Yeah. Good point, Stormy. Yeah. All the way along.
Absolutely.
All right.
The next one we have is from I'm Just Here for Felicity. Mm-hmm. She writes in and says, is it just me, or with as big as this Kaden plot is getting, does anyone else think he would have made a good crossover plot? New Team Arrow really isn't helping themselves with the whole secret meet thing. Yes, you could argue, as a separate group, they have the right to their own ideas. But still, given the trust debate, this feels like another step in the wrong direction. And is it just me, or does Dinah get hotter each episode?
So are we going to change your name to I'm Just Here for Dinah?
Maybe Dinah and Felicity. She says, looking good, Juliana.
Yes.
She continues to say, I really got Cammy's dislike of Renee this episode. Mm-hmm. As Curtis cracking jokes about the Arrow Cave is one thing, given his history with them, but Renee acting like he was doing them some grand favor by giving them access to Vince, who would have done it regardless of his opinion, just rubbed me the wrong way in that moment. I'm fine with Renee disagreeing with Oliver over things, but given the mole fallout, he's acting a little too big for his pants, as they say. I do love that we're seeing backstory on Dinah.
Yeah. Yeah. You are so right on all of that as well. It's unfortunate. Like, they're writing us, like the way they're writing, it's forcing us as viewers to really, really hate Renee. Or at least dislike him a lot, and our feelings towards Curtis are changing, that it's going to be hard to redeem, almost impossible to redeem Renee, but it's going to get difficult to redeem Curtis, right, the way he's behaving too. So, yeah.
Yeah. She goes on to say, a wonderful edit with the photo mask layering over evil Laurel to form Black Canary. I'm glad she yelled that that's not her, though, because they do share the same name and image, but that doesn't mean they're the same person. Mm-hmm. She says, I'm glad on Oliver's chase the bomb or save Vince only decision, only because of Vince's powers and the fact that he could have held out while they searched. It was actually Dinah who got him killed by going in, arguably, which parallels the fact that she got them tortured by not coming up when Vince suggested. Ooh, interesting.
That's a little bit different way to look at it.
Yeah, if she had not gone after him, would he have still died?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that's a hard question.
Would he have survived?
Ooh, that's a tough thing for her to live with.
I wonder if that's going to come around, if she's actually going to think of that herself.
She goes on to say, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I loved the ghost image of the canary mask on Dinah due to her stained makeup. Plus, the mood really added to the revenge-hungry Dinah. Yay for canary on canary fights, but no killing Black Siren yet. Please, we just got her. A good episode. I'm sure that makeup was intentional because they were doing these false lashes on Laurel when she was the Black Canary that was supposed to look a little bit like bird wings, so which actually looked kind of odd, to be honest, but with with this, the way that they do Dinah's makeup instead, kind of highlighting that on her face, the sort of wing-ish style mask that she has, I think it looks a lot better. She's referencing the like tear stains that she had there at the end, which kind of look like the ghost of a mask on her face.
Yeah, yeah. No, but Dinah's mask definitely looks way better.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for that email. I'm just here for Dinah and Felicity. All right. Next, we got a voicemail from Destiny Dazzler, of course. Here she is.
Hi, Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. I just got done watching the episode. I don't know how I feel about this episode. I had a feeling from the beginning that Vince wasn't going to make it out alive. I love that he died a hero. But I think the thing that bugs me the most is that Oliver didn't back Dinah when she asked for his help, and the help of Diggle and Felicity. She was absolutely right when she said if it was Felicity or if it was Lila, he would go after them in a minute. There would be no choice. But when it came to her, he couldn't do that. And I'm starting to understand more how Curtis and Renee and Dinah feel, because they don't feel a part of the team. Like, I know there's a difference between OTA and the newbies, but I feel like Oliver should have been there for her and backed her play. So I don't really know how I feel about this. I'm a little bit annoyed. I am interested to see where the whole Laurel storyline goes and ends up. I think that'll be very, very interesting. And I wonder who doctored the photo of Oliver and the video of Caden James' son being killed. I was just wondering who you guys think it is. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Yes, thanks. Interesting. Dazzler. Well, I'm glad you're kind of feeling, you know, the same way that I was about standing up for Dinah and the, you know, why she's, or for what she said and why it eventually got Oliver to, you know, agree. You know, if it was any of their loved ones, or, well, especially Oliver and Felicity, yeah. So I'm glad you're on that point with me. But what I was thinking about while I was listening to you talk, another point that came to my mind is, she was very right in that moment, and Oliver was, and Diggle were kind of standing against her, but then Oliver nodded and realized he was in the wrong, and then the rest of the episode happened. The teams went separately, everyone failed, Dinah lost Vince, and I think it's the end of the episode with Oliver showing up at her apartment even though he said, I'm not here to apologize, I think that's his way of trying to show her that he is going to be there for her, to kind of make up for, like you were saying, that you think he should have been there for her because she is part of the team. I think at the end, that's what he had decided to do. He realized that, yeah, I better let her know that I actually am here for her. I'm the one that pulled her out initially and brought her to this team. I need to reassure her and reestablish that connection, even though she's friggin' pissed off at me right now. I need to plant that seed that I'm here for her and I will help her get through this. So I think that's what that end scene was about.
Mm-hmm.
From his perspective, anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our next email here is from Christy. She writes in to say, I really enjoyed Oliver's talk with Vince. They've come a long way from Vigilante nearly killing him from a rooftop last season. Renee and Curtis choosing to side with Dinah was just infuriating. That was their one chance to have enough manpower to take hold of the bomb and halt the stream of millions into Caden's bank account.
Very true.
Yeah, I think Dinah's point about the team, how the team would jump to rescue Felicity, makes sense, except for the fact that Vince has healing powers and should be safe for the period of time that they need to find the bomb.
Yeah, that's a good point. A few of you were brought up, and it does make sense, and that calls into the question: would he be alive if they didn't Dinah to try to rescue him? So yeah.
Yeah. She goes on and says, I remember wondering how Vince would have been able to activate his tracker while being tortured, so I'm not surprised that it was a trap. Selfishly, I do love when Oliver's intuition is right. Dinah should have listened and put the good of the city first. I didn't think Oliver had anything to apologize for. Dinah's revenge plan makes sense for her character, especially when you consider her state of mind when Oliver first recruited her.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why Lance is trying to rescue Black Siren. It just seems like an exercise in futility. They really need another storyline for him. Perhaps something interesting with City Hall. Yeah.
Totally agree there.
She says, I can't understand the footage of Oliver firing the arrow at night, which cuts to that guy being shot in the middle of a brightly lit room. This doesn't look good enough to set Oliver up. Yeah. See, there's a lot. What's interesting to me is hearing everybody's feedback, and a lot of you guys have very similar points that you bring up that are really interesting.
Yeah, and that is funny. We didn't actually really talk about that, but that ending scene, the camera angles and everything, I mean, it looked like the camera was right underneath Oliver's nose pretty much to show it's glaringly him.
Yeah.
And yeah, like he fires an arrow and the guy he's firing at just sidesteps and the arrow goes over his shoulder through the window and kills the kid sitting in class. I mean, that whole scene, it did feel so kind of strange because it's just weird that there's an innocent bystander just kind of sitting there. Who's this guy that Oliver took the shot at? And then someone else brought up, how could Caden James not know it was doctored? Like this brilliant hacker, why would he not want to investigate and see what it is? But maybe it's the emotions, you know, what? Oliver killed my son, and he's reacting on emotion and it just doesn't care. He believes what he sees. But I do agree with you that, you know, it should be easily spotted that it's doctored footage. So who knows? It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how they end that storyline because obviously they're going to have to prove it to him before this arc comes to an end. And I just don't know how they're going to do that or how he's going to react to finding out he's been wrong all this time. It's going to be interesting. Mm. All right. Well, thank you for that email. And we've got one last one from Green Butterfly, who we haven't heard from for a while. And she says, hi, this is Ryan in the Sky, Green Butterfly. That episode was intense. I still worry that if our team remains divided, they will continue to suffer losses at the hands of Caden James. Detective Lance and Dinah delivered some amazing acting. Lots of awesome action. But overall, the episode made me feel sad. Thank goodness being a member of Aero Squad makes me glad.
Aww.
8 out of 10 bites of data. Love, aww. Green Butterfly. P.S., I wonder, is the Flash, Martin, will give this Dinah eccentric episode a 12? Yes, if I pulled all the parts together, then definitely. Definitely, definitely. But I tried to read that as best I could to sound like you, Justina. You'll have to tell me how I did. But great to hear from you again. It's been a while. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it and found it intense because there was definitely some moments that were edge of your seat here. And there is something to worry about because Caden James right now is proving Arrow Team a little bit incompetent. He's ahead of them by a few steps still. So thank you, everybody, for all the amazing feedback as always.
Yes. We always love hearing from everybody. We love hearing your thoughts and your theories and your pros and cons.
We totally do. And quite often, as awesome feedbackers and Aero Squad members that you are, you're reminding us of things we did not bring up in the episode, and it always makes me want to talk a little bit more. So you guys are just awesome that way.
Totally, yeah. Totally fun.
So what's up next week for us?
Well, next week's episode is entitled The Devil's Greatest Trick.
Oh, that's the first change in title names, because the last three or four have kind of been like a story in themselves, like the fallout, the build up, the whatever. What was this one called again?
All for nothing.
Yeah. They've all had kind of lead in titles, and if you strung them all together, it's their story themselves. But yeah, this one, The Devil's Greatest Trick, that leads me to nothing. I have no idea what that could mean.
Yeah, So we'll have to see next week.
We will. All right, everybody. For all your Arrow talk and information and ways to get in touch with us, just go to arrowsquad.com. You'll find all the links and everything you need there, and find these episodes and everything as well. So just check that out, and we always love to hear from you. Thanks, everybody, again. See you in a week. This is The Flash, signing off.
And this is Cammie. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.